Mr. Chips the following year in 1969. Great actress, great singer. She was great at Finney and Rainbow. I loved her. In the last break, we talked about DoorDash. This break, we're talking about Grubhub. A restaurant owner in California caught a Grubhub delivery driver eating a customer's food right out of the bag. So he called the customer and told him not to eat the food. He said he was recooking it and would personally deliver it to them. Grubhub says they suspended the driver. Should have fired him. Makes you think next time that delivery comes. Huh? All right. 7 o'clock on the nose. Let's check the news on this Friday morning.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. 18 days and counting until the election, and the presidential candidates are lodging sharp attacks. Correspondent Jared Hill is in New York, where the Al Smith dinner drew a star-studded crowd.
Former President Donald Trump took swipes at himself Thursday night, while also taking aim at Vice President Kamala Harris during the white tie dinner for Catholic Charities, a tradition for presidential candidates, but the vice president opted not to attend.
My opponent feels like she does not have to be here, which is deeply disrespectful.
At a stop in Wisconsin, Harris tossed a few barbs at Trump, mocking his statement that he's the father of IVF.
What does that even mean?
Harris appeared at the dinner in a video skit. U.S. leaders hoping the killing of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, the chief architect of the October 7th attack, will help end the fighting in Gaza. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
Sinwar's dead, but the head of U.S. intelligence warns that the death and destruction from this war will have a generational impact on terrorism.
Last night in Texas, the state Supreme Court issued a stay for a man with autism set to be executed for the death of his two-year-old daughter. Robert Roberson was convicted of shaking her to death. His lawyer says an autopsy later determined the girl died from severe pneumonia. CBS News Texas, J.D. Miles.
There was a group of protesters down the hill. They ended up announcing it over a loudspeaker, about 20 of them, and they broke into a cheer.
Roberson is scheduled to testify before state lawmakers. A grand jury in Georgia has handed up charges against a father and son in a school shooting that killed four people.
14-year-old Colt Gray faces a 55-count indictment for the Appalachee High School shooting. Charges include felony and malice murder for the two teachers and two students killed. Colin Gray faces a 29-count indictment, including charges of second-degree murder. The 54-year-old gave his son an AR-style rifle for Christmas, even though investigators say he knew the teen kept a shrine to school shootings in his bedroom. Veronica Waters for CBS News Atlanta.
President Biden is in Berlin this morning. He's set to meet with NATO allies there on the wars in the Middle East and in Ukraine.
I want to thank every leader across Germany's government who's worked tirelessly to ensure that Ukraine prevails and Putin fails.
State regulators in Colorado have ordered the gold mine, where a dozen tourists got trapped for hours at the bottom last week after an elevator accident, to close. The group's tour guide was killed. S&P futures are up 9, Dow futures ahead 11, NAS futures up 79. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. A county board committee unanimously rejected a resolution aimed at discouraging migrant resettlement in Kenosha County this week. Supervisor John Morrissey criticized the idea.
First off, we need to identify who you're talking about. Again, I think Supervisor Norton said you're probably talking about undocumented or illegal. That's not clear here. There's a difference between refugees and immigrants and asylum seekers and all of that.
The proposal introduced by Supervisor Keith Gray sought to limit refugee and immigrant relocation without proper planning. Morrissey, with a background as a police chief and a city administrator, suggested forming a task force as a more appropriate approach to addressing the issue. A former Kenosha County teacher's aide faces new allegations of sexual misconduct with a third student. Prosecutors in Kenosha County yesterday revealed the possibility of additional charges during a preliminary hearing for Anna Marie Crocker. She already faces accusations of inappropriate relationships with a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. There are also possible charges coming from Racine County. The hearing was delayed yesterday, set back to November. Today, Racine will remember a firefighter lost. Memorial Hall downtown serves as a space to honor and remember longtime Racine County firefighter Max Bayer. He died in a motorcycle crash last week. Emmy Antique Expert is in Racine today. People can take advantage of a free antique appraisal session at the library. The appraiser is known for work on the Antiques Roadshow. People going can have one item appraised at no cost, while additional items can be appraised for $10 each. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It's the Badgers and the Wildcats. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin takes on the Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell was asked, how has the Badgers' offensive line improved this season?
I would say as much as anything is just their ability to play together. You know, we've had consistency up front in particular across the board. But I think their ability to, you know, figure out what it is that they do well and play together.
NFL, the Packers host the 5-1 Texans on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks losing last night in Dallas, 109-84. The Bucks finished the preseason 1-3. Were the rookies paying attention last night to head coach Doc Rivers?
Well, sometimes they hear you, sometimes they don't. It's just normal. There's so many things going on in their mind. When I think they're struggling hearing it, I say less. When I think they're open to hearing it, I say more. And you just got to have a good read.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunny 70. Then on Sunday, more sunshine with a high back up to near 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Some reading is hard. Someone hands me a legal document. I pass out. I'm like, what do they spray these with, chloroform? Whereas? As the aforementioned, hereby known as proprietor, who wrote this, Shakespeare? And why does it take 80 pages to communicate, I will owe you money the rest of my life? Whenever I get a legal document, it always has those red post-y notes with the arrows on them. I feel like I'm in a live episode of Dora the Explorer. Where should you sign? Here? You did it! I've never read a legal document. I've signed a couple of them. That's why there's so many lawyers. How much would I have to pay you to read this?
$500 an hour.
That seems reasonable. Just make sure I'm not giving away a kid or anything.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
softly smile, I know she must be kind.
She's by my excitation.
Good, good, good.
WRJN, local news, timeless hits. Don't you just hate when this happens? Don't you hate when you're called back into work on your day off? A guy in Missouri got called in back to work on his day off, stopped for gas on the way there, bought a lottery ticket, and yep, won $1 million. Don't you just hate when that happens, huh? Here's Three Dog Night, one.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. The loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. No good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday.
Local news and timeless hits. Pass it on, tell a friend, right here at WRJN. Well, they heard you. Frito-Lay is buckling to public pressure and upping the number of chips in some of their bags by 20%. What do they mean by some of the bags? Some won't have more chips in them? It's like picking your own luck. I mean, what does that mean? Customers have been complaining about shrinkflation for years. The people have spoken, and you know what? I think we won. Coming up, we've got sunshine today with a high near 66. Clear tonight, lows around 47. Tonight, look for that comet. I saw it last night. Whoa! My wife called me. She was out driving. She said, the comet's up there. This was a little after 6 o'clock last night at sunset. I ran over to my neighbor's house, knocked on the door. I said, come on, bring the whole family out. We're going to watch the comet. I got binoculars. What a sight. You get to see that comet up in the sky with this long tail, and then you get to see that fireball at the beginning of it. You can see it tonight. It's going to be a clear night tonight, about 6 o'clock, a little after 6 o'clock. Look in the western sky, and you'll see it up there. You can't miss it. But get binoculars or a cell phone with some good camera lens on it. Take a close look at it, all right? Wow, it was really good last night. It's 7:15, make it 7:16 now at WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Bad news from the world of pop music as One Direction's Liam Payne died after a fall from a third-story balcony in Buenos Aires, Argentina, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Payne was discovered while performing in front of Simon Cowell on the show The X Factor, which led him to the band One Direction. Liam Payne was just 31 years old. Saturday Night Live's 50th season is off to a roaring start. A little extra hype thanks to the movie Saturday Night, which tells the story about the moments leading up to the first broadcast of the show in 1975 is probably not hurting. The show's October 12th episode drew its highest ratings in over 3 years with host Ariana Grande and musical act Stevie Nicks. NBC reports that the show pulled in over 5.5 million viewers for the actual episode and a true 516 million views on social media. The first show of the season featuring Gene Smart as the host in Jelly Roll brought in the biggest numbers for a season opener since 2020. 50 years is not a bad run. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And you can hear Pete Schwabba tonight, 6 o'clock, every weeknight at 6 o'clock on WAUK AM 540. And by the way, we'll be talking about the movie Saturday Night coming up about 7:35 this morning with, Greg Marcus, with Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. That's coming up this morning at 7:35.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Celebrate your special day with a custom cake from Main Street Bakery in downtown Racine. Whether it's an elegant tiered wedding cake or a playful personalized birthday treat, each creation is made to order, baked with love, and crafted from the freshest, finest ingredients. Let Main Street Bakery bring a touch of sweetness to your celebration. Call 262-770-4111 today. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Main Street Bakery, where every creation is crafted with care.
Hospice Alliance provides patients facing a serious illness in southeastern Wisconsin with quality end-of-life care. A community-committed, not-for-profit, Hospice Alliance offers supportive care management, always on the forefront of patient-focused care and caregiver support. When seeking hospice care, ask for Hospice Alliance, the award-winning, community-based nonprofit that gives back through education, services, and grief support. To learn more, visit HospiceAlliance.org. That's HospiceAlliance.org.
Game time! Is your home's defense ready for the fall season? Gutter helmets from Hardy and Jensen provide a winning season of protection. This solid defensive line keeps leaves, twigs, and debris out. No more risky climbs up a ladder. Keep your loved ones safe. No gimmicks, no ladders, no more gutter cleaning. Visit the showroom on Highway 20 in Racine, just west of Green Bay Road. With the pros at Hardy and Jensen, your house always wins.
Hardy and Jensen, that's where you go.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Vollman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits. WRJN.
Speaking about historic, here's Dick Graceffa from DG Sports. And he does our Game of the Week every Friday night on WRJN, our high school Game of the Week. Good morning, Dick. You there? He's not there. Did we lose him? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't hear him there. Let me try this. Let me try it again. Hold on a second here. We're going to get him back here. I don't know what happened to him. We'll find out here. We'll find out. Let's get him back on. Live radio. That's what happens. Let me see where he is here. Hey, what happened? Hold on a second, Dick. Hold on. All right, we'll get him here. Hold on a second. All right, I think he's there. You there now, Dick? Hello? Oh, wait a second. Hold on. I don't know what happened to him. Oh, there it is. You there now?
I'm here.
You know what happened? Somebody pushed a button on the phone bank here, and that's why I couldn't hear you. Okay, it doesn't matter. You're here now. Dick Graceffa, DG Sports. We have high school football on tonight a little earlier than scheduled. What happened there? How come they're moving it earlier?
Yeah, the Kenosha District about 3 years ago decided that they would like to play their games a little bit earlier. So I don't know the reason why, but they started that about 3 years ago. So they do the Friday night games at 6 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. kickoff.
All right. Doesn't make a difference. You get to see. Don't forget to look tonight if you're out there in the western sky, 6 o'clock. You'll see the comet going across the sky tonight.
I'll look for that.
Yeah, I saw it last night. It's in the western sky, and if you have binoculars, it's better. But you can see it with the naked eye. Looks like a plane with a contrail, but that's the comet. You'll see it tonight. Okay, let's talk about the game. Who's playing tonight?
So we got Racine Park traveling to Kenosha Indian Trail. To wrap up their season. Either team is going to make the playoffs tonight, so both teams would like to end their season with a win. So it's it was put on our schedule, and, you know, we kept it. And, you know, both teams are very comparable, both in records overall and conference records. So we're hoping for a good game tonight once again to wrap up our regular season.
Okay, so who is actually in the running for the playoffs locally here?
So we have Racine Case, Racine Horlick, Racine Lutheran, Racine St. Catharines, Burlington, and Burlington, and Waterford with a win tonight. They can get in also.
So we got a lot of teams in the running.
Yeah, a lot of teams. So a lot of football yet to play.
Okay, so what happens next weekend? Is it the playoff start? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so it's called level one of the playoffs, and typically the games you get are you get your strongest teams. They'll be versing the weakest teams, and probably, for example, like a Racine St. Catharines being undefeated, they'll definitely be it'll be a home game for them. So that's how it works. Starts next week, and it's another month of football if you keep winning right before Thanksgiving it concludes.
Somebody put a picture last night of Joe Namath, Willie Joe, actually Joe Willie, playing with the New York Jets in football, totally covered in mud. All the players, you could see in the background, had mud up to their thighs. Mm-hmm. You don't find that anymore. Nobody plays in mud anymore because nobody's got real grass, or very few people have real grass. But to see that picture of Joe Namath covered in mud playing football when he was at the Jets at Shea Stadium in New York, whoa.
Yeah, you're right, Don. It's all artificial surfaces now. In fact, this conference that both Park and Kenosha Indian Trail play in, everybody has artificial surface now. No one has natural grass anymore.
No mud. Okay. So tonight's game is Racine Park at Indian Trail High School and Academy. That's in Kenosha. Now, the pregame will start an hour earlier at 5:30 with kickoff at 6 p.m. Dick Rousseff is going to do the play-by-play tonight. And if you're out of town or you have a relative out of town and one of your kids or grandchildren are playing in the game, you can hear it at dgsports.mixlr.com. Streaming live at dgsports.mixlr.com. So you can catch it tonight, or you can listen right here on the radio, WRJN at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, and if you're in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. So the playoffs start next week, but tonight we've got football with Racine Park and Indian Trail High School and Academy in Kenosha. Hey, Dick, have a good game tonight. The playoffs start next week, and we'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Dick. And, of course, that button will be pressed next week. Wait till we find out the person who did it. Heads will roll. It's 7:27 at WRJN time for Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. Once upon a time, there was an interior decorator named Jim and an auto mechanic named Charlie who went on a car trip together, their intended destination, the record book. For as far as either knew, nobody had ever before driven an automobile coast to coast and back without once shutting off the engine. There were plenty of reasons not to try it. The risk of starting a fire while refueling, for example, especially in Charlie's old Ford. Still, they took the idea to a Texaco Oil Company executive named Vos, and he agreed their proposed adventure would be a viable publicity stunt. And then he made Jim and Charlie a deal. If that crate lasts 500 miles, he said, then Texaco will underwrite the entire trip. And they shook on it. Charlie tuned up the old Ford as carefully as he could. It was late July before he was satisfied the car was mechanically perfect. And so on the 26th, Jim Hargis and Charlie Creighton embarked on their bold journey, New York to Los Angeles and back, with the motor running all the way. Taking turns at the wheel, they reached L.A. on the 13th of August. By then, the trip had attracted considerable attention. Reporters were amused to learn that the pair had been arrested in Pennsylvania for creating a public disturbance. Also, that they'd hit a skunk in the road in Ohio, and the odor from that had not completely dissipated yet. And with the Texaco insignia emblazoned on the doors of the old Ford, a friendly nickname had been adopted along the way. Their car was now being called the Star. As of their arrival in Los Angeles, the Star had been running continuously for 456 hours. That's 19 straight days. Now the return trip is underway. And that was finished on Sunday, September 7, when Jim and Charlie drove into the plaza at the end of Battery Place, New York, New York. Photographers were poised to preserve for posterity the most momentous moment of the trek of the Star, that at which, for the first time in 42 days, the engine of Charlie's old Ford would at last rest. Texaco officials were present to congratulate the intrepid travelers. What they accomplished would be newsworthy today, but it was all the more incredible when they completed their journey in September of 1930. You see, the Star, Charlie Creighton's old crate, was a Model A Ford Roadster, and the fastest it had driven throughout the entire trip was at 11 miles an hour. And what makes that remarkable is this. Had Jim and Charlie merely kept their car running coast to coast, you'd probably never have heard of them. But the reason they are now and always will be remembered in the annals of automotive achievement is that when they started their transcontinental round trip in New York City, Charlie's Model A was facing the Atlantic Ocean. And yes, I do mean to say, Jim Hargis and Charlie Creighton made history by driving New York to Los Angeles and back 42 days, 7,180 miles in reverse. They saw America backward. And now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey. And the rest of the story, it's 7:30 on the noggin now. Let's check news. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Racine ribbon-cutting ceremony brought together Racine's mayor and Eric Hovde. The U.S. Senate candidate's development company did the work on the Breakwater 233. He helped cut the ceremonial ribbon this week. The Breakwater is the name of the over 200-unit apartment complex near the lake on Lake Avenue. Although the ribbon cutting was recent, the Breakwater started taking on residents last month. Former Kenosha County school aide Anna Marie Crocker, already facing charges of sexually assaulting two young boys, may face additional charges. Prosecutors yesterday revealed the possibility of a third victim. During a brief preliminary hearing yesterday, the assistant district attorney said that new reports are expected next week. Investigators are said to be examining Crocker's phone. The Senate candidates spent some time in southeastern Wisconsin this week. To close the week, they'll be together on the airwaves. Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race takes center stage tonight as Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde meet for their sole debate. It'll be held at 7 and will be broadcast on many civic media radio stations. You can listen locally on 540 WAUK. The event in Madison has Baldwin defending her bid for a third term against political newcomer Hovde. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
So milk production in the United States has remained pretty much flat this year. Our cow herd not growing nearly as quickly as we'd like. But yet four mega cheese processing plants all coming online in the next few weeks. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So if those cheese plants can find the milk, is that cheese already purchased? We'll investigate next.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of Producer Technologies at EverAg, says that's a good question. Is all the cheese that these mega plants will be producing already spoken for, or is it something that's going to hit the marketplace hard?
If you're building a brand new cheese plant environment like this, you would think it's on contract. So I think we kind of assume it's on contract. Whether it's truly an export order or whatnot, I think remains to be seen, which still kind of is what surrounds some of these new plants with risk, right? Like, we just don't know for sure, Pam. It's a good question, and one right now we view that just has some risk to it because we really just don't know if all that cheese is spoken for.
Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of Producer Services with EverAg, he said the other thing we have to keep in mind is where is the milk coming from to fuel that cheese production? And he said, in reality, where they're located, there's not enough milk to fuel the plants. So it's going to come from outside of their region, maybe as far away as Wisconsin. Markets are next.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed and list corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Barrel cheese was up 8 cents yesterday at 201. 40-pound block cheese dropped a penny and three quarters to 192 and a half. Double A butter was up 4 and a half, 268 on Thursday. The November Class 3 milk is up 20 cents this morning, 21.66 going to cheese. Corn for December is up a penny at 408. November beans are up 2 at 991. December wheat right now up 4 at 593 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on markets for Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 45. Tomorrow, sunny 70. Then on Sunday, more sunshine with a high back up to near 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
There was a time that there was a dressing room. You walked into a whole door, and you could close the door, and you could try on clothes and cry or whatever you do in the dressing room. But you had a door. There's no door any longer. You go to try and close, and the door is just getting higher and higher up and lower down. You're trying to get undressed behind a piece of 2x4 back there. You're just, people can see the underwear going down around your ankles, you know. I don't know about you, but I always take my underwear off no matter what I'm trying on. I just a habit, really. That the salesperson can get to you, because they couldn't before with the door. They'd just be on the outside of the door. Can I get you anything? You need anything? Everything all right there? How's everything? Can I get you anything? Now they can just poke their head in there. Can I get you anything? How's everything? Need anything? Everything all right? Roll in upside down on that little car mechanic gurney that they get. I said I would call you, Rachel. I don't need anything.
Good morning to my buddy, Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. We're here to talk about movies this morning. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Dan.
Movies are your life.
That's right.
That's about the size of it. How many years have you been in the movie business?
You know, I'm getting close to 30. So getting close to 30, I started when I was 16, just started as a movie theater usher in high school. Never thought much of it, and look where I am now.
So. Yep. Yeah. He started out with the Nickelodeon movies, the silent films. He made his way up to the talkies, and here he is today. All right, we got a couple of new movies opening up, and let's talk about them now.
Yeah, the first one, it's going to be terrifying, and it's going to be the number one movie at the box office this weekend. It is Smile 2. And as I mentioned, it's going to be the biggest movie at the box office, and there are a lot of reasons for it. One, this is October. People are looking for a scare. Two, this movie is now certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It has an 85% critics rating, which is rare for a lot of sequels. And then three, it's really built and continues off of what was a very successful original Smile movie. That one came out in 2022. Here we are 2 years later, and Paramount has given us a gem with this one. So it's the first, you know, the first movie had to do with this. There is a supernatural force that would infect the person. They take their own life, and if someone witnessed it, they would get cursed. Now we're looking at this one, and it takes place right where the first one left off. There is a global pop sensation. Her name is Skye Riley. She is the biggest thing. She's kind of a Taylor Swift type of character. She's embarking on a world tour, and all of a sudden, she starts to witness some terrifying and inexplicable events herself. So look for this one to be number one at the box office. If you're looking for a good scare, especially if you saw the first Smile, this one will not disappoint. There were early previews last night, and everyone is enjoying it. So look forward to that one, Smile 2. And this could be the second week where a horror movie is the top movie, because last week we had a surprise with Terrifier 3 bringing in about $18 million at the box office. So we're certainly in that Halloween scare season right now at the movies.
All right, what's your next one?
The next one is Goodrich. This one stars Michael Keaton and Mila Kunis. Michael Keaton plays a man named Andy Goodrich. His life is unended because one day he gets home and his wife calls and says she's entered rehab, and he has to take care of the two young kids, which he is not used to doing. So actually he calls up a daughter from his previous marriage, played by Mila Kunis, and they tend to bond together and get through this together. So this is a drama. It has elements of comedy. It's called Goodrich, starring Michael Keaton and Mila Kunis.
And now, how does Michael Keaton have two films out at the same time, Beetlejuice, and Goodrich? He couldn't have filmed them at the same time. So how does that happen where they're released at the same exact moment?
Just work with slotting, I'll tell you that much. But that shows the versatility of Keaton. You know, on one hand, he's playing Beetlejuice, which is, of course, an over-the-top character that we love. And then in this one, it's a drama. So, Michael Keaton, let's hope we get a lot more from him because always enjoy the stuff he's in.
Yep. Did you ever see Pacific Heights with him?
Oh, certainly. That's the one where he's the tenant, right?
No, that's the one where he's the tenant, but he's throwing cockroaches in the house. He's just driving the owners out of this. He is scary in this film. He's menacing and frightening in this movie. Pacific Heights. Whoa. Talk about the tenant from hell. This is the guy you don't want to rent to. And once he's in, you can't get him out. It's not that easy. All right. I want to have some fun here. I've got some interesting fun facts about horror movies that you may or may not have known. Probably didn't know. But let's talk about him. The movie The Exorcist, the first horror movie ever to be nominated for Best Picture, 1974. Didn't win, but it was the first horror movie ever to be nominated. How about Psycho? Now, this was the first American film to show a toilet bowl on screen and the first movie ever to hear a toilet flushing. It's hard to believe. I mean, the movie started in the late 1919s, and then here we are. We got the first toilet bowl flush in 1960. By the way, do you know what the first TV show ever to show a toilet bowl was? Leave It to Beaver.
Ah.
Yep, they're washing their hands in the bathroom, and there in the background is the toilet bowl. First time ever. So Psycho and Leave It to Beaver, they have something in common. They're bonded forever. All right, you know that last scene in the movie Carrie where Carrie's hand erupts from the grave? The hand is Sissy Spacek's actual hand. She was adamant about doing her own handwork, so she had to be buried underground to give her hand up above the dirt. Now, you didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that. I'll tell you that much.
All right. No. Steven Spielberg was convinced that his DVD copy of Paranormal Activity was haunted because his bedroom door locked all by itself when he saw it. All right. The Blob. Remember the original movie, The Blob, with Steve McQueen? Okay, that's based on a supposedly real incident that happened in 1950 in Philadelphia. Police officers came across a purple jelly-like mass that they saw fall from the sky. Then it vanished. Even the FBI were involved and a press conference was held. You tell me The Blob with Steve McQueen is real?
Okay. I find that hard to believe myself, but we'll go with it.
It's on the radio. It's got to be true. All right.
That's right.
An actual witch was hired as a consultant for the movie The Craft. Remember that movie back in the 80s? To make it more realistic. I don't know.
That was a very popular movie in the 80s. And I'm surprised they haven't done more, you know, mid-90s there. I'm surprised they haven't done more movies like it. Because I think it would work with a new cast if you just insert more people into it.
Yeah. I don't know. Where do you find a witch? Where do you look for a witch? All right. I told you this the other day. We were going to do this. This is called The Final Girl. Now, I never heard of this phrase before, but if you're a fan of horror movies, you know about The Final Girl. She's the woman who survives the killer and usually kills the killer or, you know, him or her, until the sequel anyway. People over at Ranker.com voted for their favorite Final Girl. You know what I'm talking about when I say The Final Girl now?
I certainly do. There's always someone that's left at the end, and there's a resolution or not, but that's the case.
Okay. Laurie Strode from Halloween, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, came out number one. Sidney Prescott from Scream, played by Nev Campbell, came out number two. Ellen Ripley from Alien, played by Sigourney Weaver. Nancy Thompson from A Nightmare on Elm Street, played by Heather Langenkamp. Gail Weathers from Scream, played by Courtney Cox. And Sally Hardesty from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 1974, played by Marilyn Burns. They all survived and took on the kill. They actually killed the killers. The Final Girl. I don't think we ever had any final men. I don't think it's all women that kill the killer. I can't remember one horror movie where the guy took the lead and did the killing. But
Yeah, anyway. It doesn't fit the narrative as well. It's not as interesting, I'll say that much.
Yeah. So. Hey, we're talking to Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. We've got more to chat about here. We've got some more movie news for you and some more Halloween fun. Keep it right here. WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits.
Vince Lombardi once said, "The measure of who we are is what we do with what we have." The team at Easy Mobility Solutions is dedicated to helping you make the most of every moment by reclaiming your freedom. As a Care Credit provider and Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted source for power mobility solutions, Easy Mobility Solutions offers a variety of Golden and Pride scooters and power chairs. Lightweight, durable, portable, affordable. Visit the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
Fall has arrived, and Ferraro's serves up the flavors to kick off the season just right. Ferraro's is Racine's go-to for classic pizzas, crispy fried chicken, and hot sandwiches. 50 years running. Feast on the Bratwurst pizza this October. Loaded with bratwurst, a beer cheese base, sauerkraut, red onions, cheddar cheese, and topped with a savory brown mustard drizzle. Plus, check out the delicious frozen pizzas, perfect for carryout or for your next big fundraiser. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Beecham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Eric Hovde owns a $3 billion California bank. That's right, he owns it. And Hovde owns a $7 million California beachfront home. No wonder Eric Hovde's proposed spending $4 trillion in new tax breaks for super-rich guys like himself. That's trillion with a T. What's his plan to pay for all those tax giveaways? Hovde's plan would slash Medicare 25%, slash veterans 40%, slash Social Security by 28%. Eric Hovde's plan would cost Social Security beneficiaries $500 a month, $6,000 a year. It's outrageous. Eric Hovde's plan, new tax breaks for the rich and devastating cuts for the rest of us. Now we know what's wrong with Eric Hovde. He's definitely not for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
When you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. What if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Today is WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Von Hassel Jewelers in downtown Racine. The holiday season will be here before you know it, so save big today on a beautiful necklace, engagement ring, or other fine jewelry for that special someone. Looking for a one-of-a-kind piece? Von Hassel Jewelers has been designing and crafting custom certified jewelry for over 20 years. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $100 gift certificates for just $50. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Hey, did you see the comet last night, by the way?
I did not. When did it come out?
You can see it tonight. You can see it for the next few nights. Right after 6 o'clock, right before the sun goes down, look in the western sky. We were watching it last night. It's really something. It stays up there for about 20 minutes. You can see it. But you can see the fireball with the tail and everything. If you have binoculars or a good cell phone, you can zoom in on it. It's really neat to see it tonight. I'm sure there's a movie waiting about that. They did make movies. Night of the Comet. They did make a movie about that. Now I remember it. All right, we're talking about some, we have movie news here first. Let's do, you've got some movie news before I get to more stuff here. What do you have?
Yeah, there is some big, big movie news that came out this week, and it has to do with an action film that some of you might remember. So Josh Brolin is in talks to join Edgar Wright as a director. Edgar Wright's the director in a new movie called The Running Man, in which he's going to play the villain in the role opposite of Glenn Powell. Now, a lot of people remember The Running Man. The Running Man was a very popular 1987 action movie that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger. So now you have Josh Brolin as the nemesis. You have Josh Brolin as the nemesis, and then you have Glenn Powell in this movie. And what a lot of people don't know about The Running Man, as well as an action movie, it's actually based on a 1982 novel that was by Stephen King. But the reason why people don't know that is because he wrote it under a pseudonym. So it was Richard Bachman wrote the movie The book The Running Man in 1982. They're turning it into a movie. I enjoyed this one a lot, and I think this one is going to do great when it comes out. getting slated right now, hopefully for 2025. So look up for the Running Man. That's some great news that's coming out.
Do you know who Josh Brolin's stepmother is?
I don't, because I knew him all the way back from the Goonies, but who's his stepmom?
Barbara Streisand. James Brolin, his dad, married Barbara Streisand. That makes Barbara Streisand his stepmother. I know. Isn't that great? Hey, who's your stepmother? Barbara Streisand. Let me check with my stepmom. Let me check with my stepmom, Barbara Streisand, see what's up. All right, they have one more bit of new movie news, right?
The only thing we were going to talk about, I had top tens and things else. So I'm all good there.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay. Every time there's a horror movie, they make a sequel of it. And some sequels are okay, some are just awful. And the New York Post newspaper in New York put together a list of the worst horror sequels of all time, in no particular order. Jaws: The Revenge from 1967. Not only was this stupid, but it didn't make sense because they killed the original shark, but they said this shark wants revenge for, going after the shark in the first two movies. But the shark was killed. So this doesn't make sense. What, does the shark remember that this woman's husband killed him? I mean, the whole movie didn't make sense. And it was less than 90 minutes. I mean, that's not good when you have an 80-minute movie. Jaws: The Revenge. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I do. And it's funny that the original Jaws was so, so good. And there have been other shark movies that have been good, but it doesn't seem like many of them have been Jaws sequels, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Leprechaun 4 in Space. Now, I have these Leprechaun movies I haven't seen, but have you seen any of them?
I have. The first one was a bit campy and it kind of made sense. And then you can see they're just going back to the well. This was very popular, like quick to be on screen and then straight to video type of stuff. But Leprechaun in Space, whoever came up with that one, I guess when people are looking for a scare, they really don't care, because then Leprechaun in Space proves it. So.
Okay, Friday the 13th. I think there have been 11 of them. I remember Jason X was number 10. I think they had a reboot at number 11. I'm pretty sure they had 11. This one is Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Now, I'll tell you, I took my daughter to see this. She was 9 years old. We took her to the Marcus Drive-In, the Starlight Drive-In in Menominee Falls. Remember that drive-in? It's not there anymore.
Yep.
But we saw it there. It was a triple feature night. And I took her. Her mom didn't want to go because she didn't like horror movies. And it was storming out. We had a thunderstorm in the middle of the movie. And the movie screen was all wet and shiny because it was really storming. And what a great night to go see Jason Takes Manhattan during a thunderstorm at the drive-in. I thought that was great. I actually liked the movie. I didn't think it was that bad. I'm not into...
And your daughter was only 9 and you took her to Friday the 13th?
Yeah, it was a triple horror bill. Remember the drive-ins used to have three movies?
Yeah.
And we saw the first one, and by the time the third one was over, the sun was on the horizon. Because they can't... during the summer, they start the movies at 9:30, 10 o'clock because, it's still light outside. So by the time you got done with this one, it was midnight. Then they have the intermission. You go maybe 1 o'clock, you start the other one till 3 o'clock. And then, by 4:30, 5 o'clock, the sun's coming up in the summer. So I took her to see. We saw horror movies all the time. All right. Also, Exorcist 2, The Heretic. That was awful. I mean, here we had The Exorcist, which scared the pants off everybody. Then you had this talky movie with no action in it called Exorcist 2 with Richard Burton. What was he doing in this? Starring in this film with Linda Blair. Do you remember The Exorcist 2, The Heretic?
Well, it wasn't very good, and I'll tell you, that's one where when you have an original that's so, so good, you better have something great to follow it up with. And this is a case where it certainly was not.
It was all talking. She was talking to a psychiatrist during the whole movie. Didn't make any sense. Also on the list, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. Blair Witch, when it first came out, was spooky. It was a whole new way of shooting a movie through like a little portable video camera. What kids would do is, it wasn't a Hollywood-looking film. It was shot on a really two-string budget, and it was good. It made a boatload of money. So they said, hey, Let's do another one. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. It was awful. They sucked us in because the first one was so good. Do you remember Book of Shadows?
Yeah, and remember, the first allure was there were rumors, and they kind of let them spread. Is this real? Is this real found footage was the whole idea of the first one. And the first one was new for its time and groundbreaking. Again, then the second one comes out. There's nothing groundbreaking here. There's no allure, and it consequently didn't do very well and wasn't a great movie.
Let's talk about zombie movies here. We don't know if zombies are real or not. I don't think so. But if you do, all right. The 50 best of all time. We've got the top 10 zombie movies from Paste Magazine. I never heard of them before. Number 10 on the list was Demons from 1985. I saw this movie. I saw it at the old Mill Road Theater. Remember that in Milwaukee? It's not there anymore. But I remember I had to go by myself. And I saw it on a double bill with a Spike Lee movie, She's Gotta Have It. Remember that movie?
I don't remember that one, but I definitely remember the theater you're talking about.
Yeah, Demons and She's Gotta Have It on a double bill. Demons, I liked. I thought it was a good movie. They made many sequels after that. Zombie 2, also known as Zombie. I think it was an Italian movie. Remember that film, Zombie? It was made in Italy. That came out.
Yeah, and Zombie 2 was in the late 70s and just had some neat styling to it.
I can't believe this movie's number 8 on the list from 1968, Night of the Living Dead. Nobody had ever seen a movie like this before, with pulling intestines out of people. It was a black and white movie, but this was frightening, from 1968. And they tried to redo it many times. I don't think they ever pulled it off. This was shot on a low budget. I think it was shot in Pennsylvania at a cemetery. And I thought it was excellent. I remember when I first saw it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing on the screen, ripping bodies apart. The zombies out there. Remember that movie, Night of the Living Dead, the original?
Yeah, that was George Romero, and that was groundbreaking for its time. In fact, that's on many people's number one either zombie movies, but that's in some people's number one list of all-time horror movies as well.
Evil Dead 2. Now, Evil Dead was, it was shot on a budget, but Evil Dead 2, they put some money behind it, and I thought it was spectacular. Evil Dead 2 from 1967. Here's one I didn't see, Shaun of the Dead from 2004. Did you see that?
I did. That's a fun one. It has comedy elements, and I really think that one's kind of a neat, funny one because it's a satire on zombie films.
Day of the Dead from 1985. I don't remember. Was that the third in the, I think that was the third in the Night of the Living Dead trilogy. Day of the Dead.
Yeah, because I don't know if Dawn of the Dead is on your list, but I thought Dawn of the Dead was the best of those.
28 Days Later. I remember that from 2002. That was a good zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
Reanimator. I thought that was a really good movie. Jeffrey Combs starred in that movie, Reanimator, from 1985. Number two, I never saw, Return of the Living Dead from 1985. Did you ever see that zombie movie?
I haven't seen that one. That's interesting.
And number one, where they take over a shopping mall, Dawn of the Dead from 1970. Isn't that the one in the shopping mall?
That is the one in the shopping mall. And I was going to say, like, I think Night of the Living Dead is better just because it was the first. But the Dawn of the Dead is really neat. George Romero was great in that one. And there are some campy things. Like, I remember there's one scene where they shoot a zombie in the head, and you can tell that it's a watermelon or something like that. So, there are campy things like that in that movie. But I tell anyone, if you're looking for a scare, Dawn of the Dead is fun, and George Romero definitely has his style. So go watch that one, because I would have put those as one and two, Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead.
It's like a Gallagher concert, yes, where he exactly smashes the watermelon. Yeah. Okay. Here's something interesting, too. Remember the house from Poltergeist they used to shoot the outside, the exterior? Remember the pool with the bodies in it? That actual house is now an Airbnb. They will rent it to you. They say the pool does not have bodies or skeletons in it, but they didn't film the movie inside the house. They filmed the exterior there. But still, it's the Poltergeist house. And finally, I've got a little odd thing that I never knew before. Now, everybody's seen, or a lot of people have seen, the movie Lawrence of Arabia. That movie is 3.5 hours long. And do you know, during the entire 3.5 hours, there's not a single line of dialogue spoken by a woman? That's hard to believe. I mean, I'm not going to go back and watch 3.5 hours to see if it's true. I never gave it much thought. but not one. It was all men speaking dialect. There were women in the movie, but they don't talk. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's kind of interesting. I never knew that before. And on that note, we have two new movies opening up. What are the titles again?
We have two new movies. There's Smile 2 and Goodrich. And I'll remind everyone that on Monday, we've got our Marcus Theaters $5 mystery movie. We have these occasionally on Mondays. They're $5. They're 7 p.m. And right now, you don't quite know what the movie's going to be. So it's rated R. Come out and see it. 7 o'clock at the Renaissance. It's our mystery.